I was gonna stand back here as we traditionally do, but I'm just not comfortable way far away from y'all. I the gospel of Jesus Christ is a personal thing.
Yes, it is.
And we have a personal Savior in Him.
Amen.
And our God is a personal God.
Yes.
So I feel like we need to kind of be personal with one another. And
that's all right.
And being far away just, just doesn't feel right. In fact, I'd like to be like right in the middle, but that wouldn't work out real well unless we were in the circle. I'd be even better. But as the arrangement is, I'm just happy to be here.
Amen.
It is such a wonderful, glorious day, and it's such a wonderful and glorious thing to be a Christian.
Amen.
To be able to share in the blessings that God has for us both in this life and in the life to come.
Amen.
And when Stanley asked me to speak today, I know for sure that I've never spoken on a Mother's Day before.
Oh, right.
And I debated what to do, what to say.
Right.
Maybe you surely would say something different than I'm going to say. And I thought, well, maybe I just won't say anything at all about mothers, but that didn't seem right either. I might not ever get another opportunity on Mother's Day to speak, and I thank Stanley for that opportunity. And so as I thought about it, I thought, there's so many ways I could go. The scripture's just filled with stuff that you could say about mothers and godly mothers that we could talk about.
Right.
But again, I want it to be more personal than that. I want it to be about your mother. About my mother, not somebody else's mother, because that's what matters to us, isn't it? That's what we relate to. I could possibly know your mother, but not like you know your mother. And before we get into that, though, I wanted to make the qualifier here, because this Mother's Day holiday is a thing of men, kind of. Men invented the day. And they set it to be on Sunday always, and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
But we run a danger when we honor a mothers on Sunday that we don't properly honor God.
Okay.
And I want to say that at the beginning. I don't in any way want to infer that mothers take precedence this day. No, they don't. God is always first. This is His day.
Yeah.
This is the Lord's day.
Right.
And we're to honor God in our worship.
That's right.
In our assembly. And in our remembrance of His day, we're going to do a lot of remembering today, but we're going to remember God first.
Amen.
And the sacrifice that He made.
Amen.
in His Son.
Amen.
You know, this is the day in our nation that's been designated to remember and honor our mothers. And like I said, there is Bible for that, isn't there?
Yes.
Ephesians 6:2, we're told to honor our mother and father. And we must remember that in honoring God, and honoring our mothers is not something you can do on a day, if you know what I mean. It's a lifetime task, isn't it? You can't just honor God one day a week or one day a year, and you can't truly and properly honor your mother on Mother's Day, and then the rest of the year you don't think of her. It's a lifetime task.
Amen.
And so it one much less a one-hour service, it's we can't do it. But it's a day, I think, of greetings, and a day that we feel emotional. It's a day of expressions of love.
Right.
Like I already said, a day for remembering. And I'm so filled this day with memories, and I'm going to share some of those with you, maybe more than I even planned once my mouth gets going. But I believe in my heart that men, there's nothing men have ever said or ever will say that is eloquent enough or expressive enough to communicate the true value of a godly mother.
Amen.
Now, I do, the qualifier there is godly, but I think all mothers have value.
Amen.
But a godly mother is more scarce than we might think.
Mm-hmm.
This world needs godly mothers. And to me, when a child is born, I know it's not miraculous in the sense of a supernatural occurrence, but something seemingly to me miraculous occurs. And there are two births, if you will, that occur when a child is born. There's the obvious brand new baby that comes into the world that we're all so delighted to see.
That's right.
But at the same time the child is born, a brand new mother is born into the world too. And most of the times, I'm speaking of the first child now, the mother is unsure of what to do. But there's some things that they're not unsure of. They already love that child. And that child already has a connection with its mother that it'll never have with its father. Now, fathers are important too, but this is Mother's Day, right? Next month we talk about fathers. But this thing of mother, it's a precious gift from God, motherhood. And it's something that we understand and hard to express, isn't it? I already said, I don't think words can do it, and I'm not doing it very well. But I know that we relate differently to our mothers as the years passed. I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in the life of others. You know, at age 4, we think our mothers can do anything and they know everything, right? That's natural. And at age 12, I think, well, she doesn't know everything, right? But, you know, she knows a lot. At age 14, you know what? Mom doesn't know anything, right? Isn't that the way it goes?
Yeah.
At age 18, you know, we say, well, mom's good, you know, but she's not cool. You know, she's out of step. She doesn't understand what's going on. These times are different than when she was young.
Yeah.
We get to be 25, we say, well, you know what? Mom's learned a few things. And then we get to be 35.
Uh-oh.
And we say, well, I think before I make this decision, I'm going to see what Mom's opinion is.
All right, now.
And we get to be 45 and we think, I wonder what Mom would think about this. And then we get to be 65.
Uh-oh.
We say, I wish I could talk to my mother.
Amen.
A mother's voice can seem soft and kind and even angelic,
okay,
as she sings a lullaby to the child that she holds in her arms.
Okay.
And at the same time, it can overcome the sound of an amplifier as she cheers her child on at a ball game. It's a wonderful thing to have your mother there.
Yeah.
So many times, mothers display patience. They're called upon to do it, and they do it admirably well. And I think fathers don't do this as well.
Amen.
I really don't.
Amen.
There was a mother pushing a shopping cart through Walmart, and her young daughter was riding in a little seat that it has, and she was screaming her head off, just continually screaming through the store. Her mother kept saying, calm down, Ellen. Ellen, it'll be all right. And she says, it's almost time to go home now, Ellen. And then the checkout clerk, you know, he was observed this, and he heard what she was saying. He said, ma'am, you are to be commended for your patience with little Ellen. And her mom said, I'm Ellen. Mothers also seem to have great intuition, don't they? And I don't know, I grew up, and maybe you did too. How did Mom know all the time? How did she know what I was thinking? And sometimes, you know, I know she knew and she didn't say she knew and let me get away with it. But it's, you know, there's that saying, It's trite, I guess, but you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool all of the whatever, but you can't fool Mom, right? That's the important part. You can't fool your mother. She knows. She knows what you're up to, and she knows what you're doing.
Amen.
To honor our fathers and our mothers is a commandment from God.
That's right.
Exodus 20:12 says, honor your mother and your father, so that your days may be long in the land. And Ephesians, and if you want a New Testament scripture, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, honor your mother and father. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you.
Yes, sir.
And that you may live long in the land. Now, I know some may say, well, you know what? My mother doesn't deserve honor. My mother isn't, or my mother wasn't honorable. And you know, I think, like a lot of God's commands, His commands aren't so much about the person you're connecting with as it is about you. What is the promise we read here that's connected with it, that you may live long, that you may do well, is generally what it says.
Yeah.
And you know, if you are a person and can't find it in your heart to honor your mother, where is your life?
Amen.
The person that can't do that, just observe them. Observe their life and see where they are. And you see what God meant by the promise, won't you?
Amen.
Loving your mother and honoring your mother carries a blessing with it.
Amen.
It makes, if we're the person that can do that, our life is going to be better.
Amen.
And I want to say, too, that the scriptures are clear about this. They don't leave us to guess. There's no qualification here. There's no standard that mothers must meet. The only requirement to receive honor, according to the scriptures, and that she be your mother. The rest is in your hands. It's our task to obey God.
Amen.
It's not about whether she deserves it or not. Mm-hmm. It's about whether we're going to obey God or not. This is, like I said, the only one of the Ten Commandments that carries a promise with it. Honor your mother and father and you'll receive a blessing.
Amen.
I know that's true because I've received it.
Amen.
Directly at the hands of honoring my mother. And I think of our Lord Jesus. And this, when I think about this, this touches me. Jesus honored his mother Mary.
Yes, he did.
Even as he hung.
Yes, he did.
On the cross.
Yes, he did.
I want you to picture this. Now, we picture it when we are around this table, and when we're around the table again, we'll picture it again. But picture our Lord hanging, nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
In pain, in agony, dying. And then John 19, verses 25 through 26, we're gonna read that. It says, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to her, mother, here is your son. And I put myself sometimes in that place, suffering and dying, and your mother's there, and you can see how it's affecting her. You can only imagine her son, the Son of God, one she knew, had never done anything wrong. But even if he had, that doesn't matter. Mothers, does it? And Jesus says, mother, look at me. This is where I am. And you know this is, I know I'm adding here, but I'm reading between the lines. This is where I am, and you know this is what I came to do. He was telling her not to fret. It was happening as it was supposed to happen. But he wanted to care for her before he died. There was no Social Security. There was no, benefits that the government had to offer. There was no guarantee his mother would be taken care of. And so he said to the disciple, here is your mother. Your mother, he said to him. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. He didn't shy away from the responsibility.
Yeah.
Near the cross was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the aunt of Jesus, also named Mary, and Mary Magdalene, and the one other disciple that Jesus loved. Now, I think it was John. Some say that it could have been Lazarus. I'm okay with either one of those. It really doesn't matter, but this man took that responsibility. Jesus told him that Mary was his mother. And in turn, he was saying that this disciple was now her son. And Jesus makes an oral testament. See, there's more going on here. In front of witnesses. This was a binding thing. This apostle was bound to take care of her. And so he did. From that time on, she was under his formal care and protection. And it was his responsibility to provide for her. We're all called by God to honor our mothers.
Amen.
A mother is often considered old-fashioned to her teenagers.
Yeah.
To the third grader, he didn't think about it that much. She's just mom. You know, she's just, we kind of take we take for granted that our mother's just there because she just always is. She's just taking care of us. And the little two-year-old, well, he's just learned to say mama, right? Yeah. It's his mama. My mother passed away January 3rd, 1993. And I still honor her.
Amen.
On this day.
Amen.
In my heart.
Yeah.
And I still remember her.
Yeah.
And I still love her.
Amen.
Mothers have an imprint.
Yes.
On their children.
Yeah. Amen.
My mother had an imprint on me, on my life. And their lives that they live and the lives that they lived, they speak actions, they speak volumes. And I can remember, it must have been 1954 or so, maybe 55, and I was about 4 years old or so. And I know my mother must have been about 20, 21 years old. And my father was not a member of the church. My father was either an alcoholic or well on his way to becoming one. And I don't remember my mother and father in a particularly bad light at the age of four. But I do remember, see this, it must have been something because I remember they had some fights. And I know now what it was probably about my dad's drinking. It most likely was. My mother had been raised in church. She knew what was right. And they moved from Florida to California, and I think in that time she strayed away from the Lord. But this Sunday morning, I remember, I didn't know what was going on, but she got my brother up. He was about 2.5 years old and got me up and dressed us. And we walked down to the church building in Fontana. And I think back on that I owe my mother for that.
Right.
And our whole family owes my mother for that. I don't know what would have happened to our family, my father, my brothers, or me, or any of us, if we hadn't been given that opportunity to come and know God.
All right, now.
And I remember shortly after that, the preacher came to our house. Because I saw him preach on Sunday, and now he's at our house, and him and my dad, they were arguing. And pretty soon, a package came in the mail. And it was my dad's Bible that he had sent from Florida there. And that preacher came back, and now my dad had his Bible. And he was going to show that preacher that he didn't know what he was talking about. And you know, it wasn't very much later that my dad was baptized.
All right.
And you know what? He was up there. I mean, in a matter of weeks, my dad was up there preaching. Because my mother got my brother and I up on Sunday morning and took us to church.
Okay.
Praise God.
Amen. Four preachers were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. And one liked the King James Version best because it sounds poetic. It does, isn't it? I think it's still the most beautiful translation if you can read it. And one liked the NIV version because of the modern language, and it's a bit easier to understand. And a third preacher, he liked the Message version because it's a paraphrase, and he just liked that. But the fourth preacher was silent on the subject. And when asked for his opinion, He said, "I like my mother's translation best." And the other ministers asked, "Your mother translated the Bible?" I said, "Oh yeah, she did. She did it every day in her life."
All right.
"And in the way that she lived." And that was the most convincing translation that I ever saw. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
That the Bible doesn't mean anything unless it's lived in the lives of people.
Amen.
And mothers do that often.
Amen.
Thank God for mothers that live in and proclaim the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A little girl was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes in the kitchen. And suddenly she noticed that there were several strands of white hair sticking out of her brunette mother. And she said, "Mama, why are some of your hairs white?" And her mother said, "Well, every time you do something wrong, one of my hairs turned white." And a little girl, you know, she pondered on that for a little bit. She thought hard about it. And then she asked, "So, why are all of Grandma's hairs white?" Most of us have fond memories of our mother. It was some time back I preached the sermon on God's love will take us home.
Okay.
And there's a connection with mothers and homes. For me, you know, that's one of my visions of home when I think of home, that you can't separate home and mother. And with mother and home comes the idea of being accepted.
Amen.
Being knowing where you belong and knowing that it's okay to be who you are.
Yeah.
And when most of us think of home, we think of, we forget. We forget our troubles.
Okay.
When we're in that nice place, whatever's bothering us at the moment, it kind of goes away. Feel safe. Few things are more powerful than the tears of a mother and the prayers of a mother. Few things are more valuable to a child than a mother's tender touch.
Yeah.
Children need mothers.
Amen.
They need godly mothers.
Amen. Amen.
A godly mother, as we said, translates the scriptures into her everyday life.
Amen.
All right.
What an awesome responsibility and what a rewarding responsibility it is for a mother.
Amen.
Church, the best thing that we can do for our children and for our grandchildren and for everyone that we know is to live our lives as Christ would have us to live it.
Amen.
To be the example, to be right with God, and to walk, you know, we call it the walk, don't we? To walk in the way of the Lord.
Amen.
To be the example, and to never be satisfied spiritually with where we are, but continually seek to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Amen.
So, you know what that means, to be in the image of Christ? When people see me,
okay,
they see Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome responsibility, isn't it?
Amen.
That's what God calls us to do. I'm almost done. A man stopped at a flower shop to order some flowers that he was going to wire to his mother who lived 200 miles away. That's a bit of a drive. And he got out of his car and he noticed there was a young girl sitting on the curb and she was in tears. He got out and he asked her what was wrong and she said, "Well, I want to buy a rose for my mother on Mother's Day and roses cost $2 and I only have 75 cents. He said, "Well, come on in with me and I'll buy you a rose, you know." So they went in together and he bought the rose for her and smiled. And the little girl took her rose outside and they walked out together. And leaving, the man asked her if she'd like a ride home. And she said, "Yeah, I'd like a ride." But they didn't go home. He took her to the cemetery where she laid the rose on her mother's grave.
Okay.
The man got back in his car, drove back to the flower shop, canceled his order, and drove the 200 miles to his mother's house.
Amen.
If your mother is alive,
amen,
grasp the opportunity,
yes, sir,
to be with her,
amen,
to talk with her, and express your love and appreciation for her.
Amen.
Because likely you're going to lose that opportunity in the coming days.
Amen.
We need to honor God first, as I said.
Amen.
But you know what? If you don't honor your mother, you can't properly honor God.
Amen.
I think mothers teach us what honor is.
Yeah.
And we need to honor each other. We don't respect each other even sometimes. Our own brothers and sisters in Christ, we mistreat and abuse. We must not do that. So maybe this day, maybe this is the day, to tell your mother, to tell your grandmother, and for us husbands, to tell the mother of our children how much that we love them.
Amen.
And care for them for what they have done.
Amen.
Jesus honored his mother.
Yes, he did.
And even in death, as it approached, his mother was on his mind. I don't think Jesus could pass into the next life until he had taken care of that.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
What a son that he was. And we cannot, we must not do any less than our Lord did towards our mothers. We must honor God, honor our mothers on this day.
Amen.
You know how children, one way that children honor the parents is obedience, isn't it?
Amen.
Your mom and dad tell you to do something and you want to show honor, you do it.
Amen.
Well, how do we honor God?
Well, come on now.
When God tells us to do something, we do it. It's dishonorable to God to ignore that.
Amen.
God wants us all to be his children.
Amen.
It requires obedience to be a child of God.
That's right.
There are things that God expects of his children, and he expects to become a child.
Amen.
This lesson hasn't been designed around that. Most of you here already know. You know that in order to be a child of God, you have to believe in his son.
Amen.
With all your heart, you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and he did come and die on this earth, and that he did hang on the cross and honor his mother even as he was there. You must have faith in that.
Amen.
And you must be willing to confess his name before men.
Amen.
I can remember as a little boy, being happy to say, "Oh, that's my mom."
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
It's a good thing. And I think that's the kind of thing we have to have with Christ. If we believe in him, we're going to be happy to say, "That's my Savior."
All right. Amen.
He's the son of my father. That makes him my brother.
Okay.
We're princes. We're going to be proud and happy to say that. And you know what? Turning away from sin,
No problem at all.
We don't want to do it anymore because now we have purpose and meaning in our lives and we know who we are.
Amen.
And then God asks us to go down into water, have our sins washed away. And that single act puts us into the body. Not really the single act, is it? It's the culmination of all of the rest of us, of it, combined together that puts us into the body of Christ.
Amen.
And we're now a child of God. And we have a life with meaning and purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know where you are spiritually this morning, but I hope I've said something to help you wherever you may be.
Amen.
But I know you don't have to leave this building with sin on your account.
Amen.
You can have it forgiven.
Yes, sir.
Whatever your need may be, come forward as we sing the song announcement.